All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time this morning, the discovery class, and just ongoing relationships and the way you've put us together, and you have just enabled us to come alongside each other, pray for each other, visit, meet needs. Just the presence on a Sunday morning is encouraging. And so we thank you for that. We have lots of requests that have come up with people in this class, just a very unique class in terms of people in ministry, such as Scott in the Quest ministry and so many others. And so we pray that your work would go, people would be affected for Christ. Camp, I know that's a big one, is kids at impressionable ages, and they often will come to Christ. We pray that that would happen. We know Satan would not want that to happen. So we pray for protection and for great success, encouragement, that many other ministries that come up here, Daniel Kaysen's included. Just so many things, Father. We pray for those things. We pray for protection. We pray for comfort. People in the class that are dealing with sickness and pain, I pray for your hand of guidance, protection, and real healing. Father, we hear stories of that, and for great comfort, just in these really hard, sometimes terminal situations, that you would give that kind of comfort, and we could be that comfort to our friends, but that you would be a part of hearts, that you would be the one who comforts, and that it would be very, very obvious. Just thank you for this morning, as we look at your word on the abbreviated schedule, that we're still impacted, and that we see you clearly, and that we encourage each other. I thank you for all that in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. So what we're going to do this summer, summer's always a little bit open, people traveling and things. So we have, Bill and Peggy talked about the ballet a few weeks ago, we have so many people in this class that are involved in ministries. I just prayed, a lot of them on the board directed ministries, but there's other ministries. So we're going to loosely, the theme is having people who are involved in ministry to talk about their ministry, but also messages from the ministry. And what God is doing, because after the ballet presentation, I don't know how many of y'all were here when Bill and Peggy did that, but I had people calling. I had no idea. I knew we had a ballet, but I had no idea the depth of it, how it affected people, and it made so much sense. And they didn't know how fantastic Bill was in running it. Well, Bill's the one that said that, but... That's not true, but that is true. You've done a great job, and it impacts so many people. This church, the level of ministry that is going on in those types of settings, from, you know, young business leaders, the medical missions, seminary, these are different types of scenarios. And it's not just those particular ones, but we're going to have people talk about those and about what God's doing in their lives and in conversations, the school, things like that. So, I always look forward to that, and, people weave in testimonies, which is always great, but that's what we're doing. So, but this Sunday, because it is kind of a different one and we are on a shorter schedule, I am going to talk, and it's essentially, I was doing like a lesson. I'm not sure what time we're going to have. So, and I do want to, I forgot to pray for our vote. So as we leave, I do want to do that. So, I'm just going to kind of share from some thoughts recently in my life, just things that we probably all, deal with to an extent. And I would say, I'm going to do another lesson that develops it some, but I would say the basic idea came from reading Psalm 104, And I hit verse 34 and 35. Yes, it's verse really what struck me. It's verse 33 and 34. So Psalm 104, 33 and 34, which in the NIV says it this way: I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And then this is what really struck me: may my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. And of course that verse made me think of Psalm 19:14, meditation of my heart, words of my mouth be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Fantastic verse. We'll hit on that for a minute. But the idea of the word for meditation is similar in both of those, Psalm 19 and Psalm 104. And it's our inner thoughts, inner dialogue, which is probably different for everybody in here, probably the same and different. What you struggle with, your internal thoughts, may be different than what I do, but we all have them. C.S. Lewis calls them the wild animals your thoughts hit you in the morning like wild animals and you hold them at bay. Yours may be different, but that is, that's what I was thinking about, this whole inner dialogue of thoughts. I have a friend in here who's called me on it. I was talking about flying out to Austin to visit my daughter, and we were talking about the weather or something, and there were storms coming through. And I said to this friend, I'm going to fly right through it. Just like I always will fly right through it. Because I see everything very negatively. And everything's a threat. Everything's a threat. And so this particular person will always say, you're going to fly right through it. That is my baseline. And I think you have, based on just disposition, Bill, you could tell us all this, but just your disposition, your natural tendencies, and then how you were raised. And then I had another friend who said at about age 25, you got to stop talking about how you were raised. You're kind of on your own with this, but that's not really true, but yeah. So now you're getting your own input, you know, and that will affect your inner disposition. So when I saw that verse, it made me think of this whole idea, which is resonates with me, because your inner life, that your inner thought life is kind of your life. Like it's how you interpret things. So it affects, if you can get it directed, that's the thing. It is going to be directed by something. So if you can have some intentionality about how you direct your own thought life, it's your own experience in life is all wrapped up in that. And Psalm 19:14, words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the words of your mouth, that affects everybody around you. So your inner life is not just affecting you. Your people around you are, it's how they experience life too. The ones closest to you are the ones who hear. C.S. Lewis in that famous quote, and I'll use it later on, but it's where he talks about fretting and fussing. And so you're either like fretful or you may be fussing. Who hears about that? The people closest to you. I'm looking at you, Jesus. Look right. Oops, you raised your hand. I'll tell you. So anyway, that's that verse got me going down that path, and I was working on a lesson on it on my laptop at a coffee shop on Wednesday. So, and then I'm left there to drive to a meeting up here with Dan Doriani and a group. And I'm on the phone with Judy through my car, Bluetooth, and about on the Red Mountain Expressway, about St. Vincent's, the phone cut out. I'm like, okay, well, missed cell service, whatever. So I just didn't think about it. So I got home and we're talking and I'm running to go to this meeting. I'm like, where's my phone? And I couldn't find my phone anywhere, which is not unusual for me. But I finally realized It was on the roof of my car.
It's still there?
With my laptop.
Oh.
Nope. Neither one are there. I never found them. So I was able to be on Bluetooth until it slid off in front of St. Vincent's, which is a really hard place to get out in traffic and look. You know, I mean, I did it. I did get out of traffic, but went back on the entrance ramp and walked. It was just the worst. And no, before, I don't have all the technology. I don't have it set up to where my recovery is with Judy. There's a million things. Everybody's like, well, didn't you have, you know, find my phone or whatever. Nobody has found my phone.
You sit it on the roof of the car.
Let's go back to why'd you sit it on the roof of the car? That's, I don't know. It's a, you've done the same thing. Thank you.
Put it on the back of my bed, Jamal, bringing my son to school here.
Right.
I get halfway here, but
people
sell the gas station still.
Yeah. People I've done it before and it stayed on there. You've had that? Anybody had that? I've had people say, I mean, I was talking to my sister and I'm like, cause one of my daughters was like, Dad, should we begin to be worried about you? I'm not saying no to that, but my sister said, you've been doing this since you were 12. Like I've been leaving stuff. Remember the first wallet I ever got? And my granddad gave me $5. I was 10 years old. So that was like a Bitcoin. $5 was like, and I had it in my little wallet. We went to JCPenney and I lost it. I lost my first wallet, my first $5. It's devastated. So I've told people I am like Tim Towns without the intellect. Not the professor. I don't have the genius, but I have the absent-mindedness. It's just a bad combination. So that is y'all know everybody here knows it's a nightmare because everything is on our phone and Apple. Not helpful. I mean, because I didn't set it up right, and they're not ones that you can go in there and go, here's my driver's license. It's me. Here's my passport. This is me. Give me my data. No, they don't think it's you. They don't think you're you. So I'm in Apple purgatory right now. If you've been texting me, apparently you could probably tell me all about this. If you're not, like if you dial in my number and text me, it will come. But if you just pull up a contact or something, I'm looking at you like it's your fault, but it's your fault. That's true. There's only one person. But anyway, so if y'all text and I haven't responded, I'm not getting. And so I've become that guy too. But so that, then I go into all of the modes, security modes, like what do I have on there and what do they have access to? And it's just, there's a million things. So flying right through it, you know, I'm just, so my inner dialogue is more chaotic. So I talked to my daughter, Jenny. I called her and was just chatting. And I said, how do you handle it when just things are going wrong? Like, you know, what do you do? And she goes, well, you know, I do try to remember the promise that he has overcome the world. This is just part of the world. Just keep going. This is just my 35-year-old daughter. She's awesome. Both my daughters are great. But, so we had a great chat about that. And I said, you know, I was thinking recently, and I journaled this, that if I look back over 18 months for me, 2 years, just that I've had back to back medical. I've had all these things and I was writing these down. And when I called her, I was waiting for AAA because the day after I lost everything, I ran over a screw on Highway 280. I'm driving along and something goes bam. And I'm looking at other cars. I'm like, somebody's going to have a bad day. I'm looking at, it was so loud. I thought something has fallen off a car. And so I get downtown for a meeting and I'm slowing up and it's going doom, 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 doom. And I get out, there's a bolt. Like, it's huge. I was talking to Jeannie about, well, just things just are going wrong. And so, and I told her about making that list. She goes, that's kind of like the opposite of counting your blessings. Oh, right. I mean, that hurt. So that, but that really was sobering that she said that. It was really good that she said that. And I thought, you know, that's exactly right. Like, it's all true. There's nothing I wrote down that wasn't true. And there's ways of reflecting about things that are going on in your life, but that can become the habitual way to look at it. And I find that that's true. That's very true for me to habitually go down the path of, well, it's another thing going wrong. So I went back to this idea of the meditation, and really particularly, well, this Psalm 104:33-34 and Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Those two things. And so really this morning, just thought of throwing out a couple of things as to how, because it needs to be directed. If I don't direct it, that's what will happen. Fretting and fussing, complaining, that's what will happen. I don't have to plant that. You don't have to plant the weeds in your garden. That's what's coming up in my life. Some people's inner life may be more, I don't know. You may be more confident about things, but you may have pride or something. I don't know. There's just different things that are habitual. That one for me. And so I need to put things in place to have intentional direction of this thought life. So these are random, and we could talk a long time about this, but one thing that struck me was in Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. The connection of music. So again, I'm just pulling out kind of a random little one, but it is probably important. I read recently, somebody said, if you tell me what you sing, I'll tell you who you are. Like, I'm Paul McCartney? But I mean, that can be taken to all kind of extremes, but there's an element. And I was reading about a person who took a hymn every day and sang that during the day and meditated on the words to the hymn. So maybe some of y'all do that. I mean, I don't know about that specifically, but that was interesting. I took that to heart. It made me think of when Mom was dying in the hospital, and we've had a lot of stories in here about people that we know who are dying, and the music is what hangs on. And she was singing, Jim was in there leading it, at one time, but Mom was leading it most of the times. And it was Have Thine Own Way, Have Thine Own Way, very weak voice. But she knew those words, and she was saying that it was perfect, because she was like, I'm ready to be gone. Why am I still here? Have Thine Own Way. And that's the way she went out. I mean, and so songs hit at a different level. They get past some of our inner dialogue, and they can create it. So, that fit with that psalm. Another one I always think of, a great passage on this whole topic, is Psalm 42 and 43, which some commentaries, some people think should be combined. They should be the same psalm. Hey, Dan, how are you? It's the idea of, do you need us for anything, or?
I need you all the time.
I need thee.
I do not need anything particular. I just wanted to say
it's great to see you. Thank you for everything. We really appreciate it. We're all analyzing my internal life right now. Is that you're sorry you came for that? But we have our eye on 10:15. We will be out. So, Psalm 42, 5 and 6. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. And he goes on to recount ways that he remembers God's faithfulness to the children of Israel. So that idea of remembering, and I'm thinking of talking to my daughter about making a list of things that have gone wrong in life. Right. I was thinking, so that next day I journaled. I mean, my life is so blessed. It's embarrassing that I fret and fuss. It really is. But, so I find that has been helpful. So with that being said, and keeping our eye on the clock, is there anything else? And again, this is a huge topic, but anything else people would say helps get your inner dialogue directed to the right scripture? Yep. Wherever we go with it, that's what it has to be. And so Psalm 19 that ends with let the meditations of my heart be acceptable. Psalm 19 has 14 verses. The first six are about the world. Heavens declare the glory of God. That's something that's encouraging. And then 7 through 13 is about the word of God. It's the law of the Lord is perfect. All of those things. So yeah, whatever you do. Yes. Lead us, Sue. Yeah.
We tell
our adults that
it's in the world, it's just in the only one. Yeah. And like first from the talking in class about personal memory, so you know last year I took the chapter on 15 and read it every day.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Reading it over and over and over. Another thing I was thinking about is he was thinking, you all remember Laura Black?
Yeah.
She's here in Birmingham and she was going through the fancy zone. But just through other friends that got him to subscribe to her blog when she was going through cancer. And one of the things I remember over and over saying to the children was, what do we know to be true? We know that God is good. We know that God loves us. And if anybody remembers what we started in the title sentence, we know that God's good, we know that God loves us.
He's in control, I mean, that's one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever minor things we were going through in our household at that moment, even though it wasn't concerned my father, it was a matter of putting in front of our face.
Right. Right.
No, laptop disappears off the
roof. Right. 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 Yeah. He's known me since I was 10. But no, that's really, really good. That is it. The truth. I saw I didn't even read the article, but the headline was Trials are a garden of lies. Trials are a garden of lies. And that's so to your point. You start going, God doesn't care, or just, I mean, you know, it's not true, but it's how you feel. Why is my soul downcast? So I really like that thing. Else, Vivian?
I realized that, like my God, I've got a lot of perennials that are just taken over.
Right.
But the good thing about that is there's no room for weeds. And I'm thinking that if we fill our lives with this, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, thank in every circumstance, if we fill our lives with those things, there's no room for the
world. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. So you be intentional about the positive things, the truth, the gratitude that Wade used to always remind us. That's what he did. Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, y'all, we need to wrap it up. So we need to be walking out of here. I don't want to get in trouble. So, the last thing I'll say is Psalm 19:14, which says, let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be acceptable or pleasing to you. One thing that struck me for the first time looking at it is that it's not said as a, like a goal or an affirmation. This is what I'm going to do. That one is in a prayer. He is saying that to the Lord. And I thought, that needs to start. I need to ask God, make the thoughts of my life, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, which flow from that inner life, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. So that's the prayer. That's the prayer that we need to have. And thank you for all the good input. So let me pray. We'll pray for the vote and we'll head in there. Father, I'm thankful for this group, the encourage I knew, always encouraging. And let the word that you brought to us in this class, how many people were sitting in here, so many different ways you brought the word to us, but you have. And so let that be working in our hearts and filling the gardens, and that we would be intentional to work on that input and the environment that we put ourselves in and listen to those words of our mouths to know what the meditations are doing. And we give that to you, Lord. It hasn't come from you. I pray for the wisdom of the church as we vote on Scott, and that you would guide, Lord. And it's your church and it's your wisdom and your power. You're in control. You want the best for us and you know all the factors. So we pray that you would guide the vote and then guide us as we, embrace Scott or, a new pastor and just get to the work of worshiping you and getting your word to others. And I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.